wonderful Sabbath day. Let's do a mic check.
Are you saying it slow?
Okay, mic. Don't just hold this slow. Let me see if I can get this in a little closer there, bro.
Hold on. 1 second. I don't know what it is. I cut the computer off and I cut it back on and then I don't know if it resets my sound. All right, let me see. How's that sound? Is that louder? Is it better? Worse? Let me see how. Okay, all right, good. All right. There we go. I don't know. I cut this thing off and I have to go back in and manually reset the settings on this computer. But it's running Windows 7, so I don't know if it readjusts. I have no idea. I don't know. I just plug it in and I ask you guys for the check to make sure that it's good to go. But again, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Went outside earlier and it is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. You couldn't ask for better weather throughout this week because the rain has been hitting my neck of the woods pretty hard. And we've been getting a lot of on and off rain. Particularly around like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, getting home from work, and it just downpours. Now, yesterday wasn't too bad, but all throughout the week, just on and off rain, and the humidity came right along with it. We haven't really felt the effects of summer yet, because all the next week, what they're saying is supposed to be even more rain. But praise God, we haven't had any effect as far as any kind of flooding or outages, anything of that nature. I know many, especially here in the church family, has felt the effect. Even earlier, Brother Sean had PM'd me that he's having internet issues as well. So we are very, very thankful here. We have experienced outages in the past with our internet when the weather has come through. But here today, it is nice. I was outside this morning. And I was standing in my yard, and I thought what I saw was a squirrel. And I called my son, and I said, look at this. And we were looking at it, and I said, it's just not moving like a squirrel. It's not moving like one. And we were just watching it just kind of frolic around in the cornfield out there. And he looked at it like, oh, that's pretty fat for a squirrel, Dad. I'm like, So I described it to my daughter, and she's just, all in when it comes to animals. And right away she said, that must have been a prairie dog. So we I went and kind of looked it up. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It might have been a prairie dog. We've seen so many creatures out here in this yard. So many just kind of pop up between the rabbits, the deer. I was in a room just one day. I was just talking to it. I just looked out a window. I was like, hey, look at there. It's Bambi just sitting right there in the backyard. We're just amazed by the things that we've, seen and being able to spend time in the yard. The kids are out there pretty much every day, especially now that they got the plants going. And my daughter, she's got a little beanstalk going. They were kind of just laying stagnant on the ground, so she took like this little triangle, like a fixture, and she placed it above the stalk, and she was just so amazed because now they were spiraling around the fixture. She was just so happy. She was telling me about it, so happy, and I'm loving it. I'm loving the opportunity, just watching my children and their progression. Here being in the country, it's a very, 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 very humbling experience. It is. It's extremely humbling because when you're accustomed to being in a city, then you go to a suburban environment, then you go to the country. It's different. It is. But at the same time, this is something that I was raised in this environment. So it's kind of like the lesson of the prodigal son. It's kind of like that lesson. And how he was raised, and you go out into the city, and the enemy throws everything at you. You get the lights and all the flashing lights, and just know, different merchants that come at you, you know, get this and buy that, you know, nothing has changed. The same as it was, you know, 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, the same applies today. Same applies today. But you get out here in the open air, you get out here in the environment, and just the kids, you know, we talk often. You know, my kids, we have days, especially when dad comes home and I have some sort of energy besides work. And, you know, days where I'm just extremely wore out. They found it out yesterday. They found it out yesterday. I came home. My daughter, she had prepared a meal. And I was just exhausted. I was extremely exhausted. As soon as I came home from work, the traffic was kind of iffy getting home. Then I went and had some trash in the backyard, and I went and took it to the dump, and then I came back home. I wanted to eat, and then by the time I got settled in, my kids said that I'd passed out. I was done for. This, you know, at the end of the week, it hit me pretty hard. That's why I look forward to this day. I do every single week. I'm like, just cannot wait for the seventh day. I don't have to get up in the morning. I get to sleep in. I get to actually go out in the yard a little bit, just sit and just enjoy creation as it is, and listening to the birds, and just go out and I kind of look at the plants and see what the kids got going on. One thing that kind of really messed it up this morning is that this entire week I've been looking at that grass. I'm like, this grass is kind of high. You know, if I had my own, like, you know, riding mower, I would go out there and hit it myself. I don't like it to get to a certain length because it just attracts more bugs. It attracts more bugs, and it just becomes an eyesore, so to speak. And sure enough, they would wait because in the clause for the housing agreement, they said they would take care of all the landscaping, which I frowned upon in the beginning because there were certain plants that I had in the yard that they thought were weeds, and they went out there and they cut them, man. My daughter, she wasn't happy about it. She wasn't happy about it at all. So I made sure that I made them aware the next time not to go out and mess with the plants. So they, sure enough, they decided to come out this morning. It's not in my realm of control because this is not my property, But at the same time, I made sure this morning, like, hey, if y'all guys are going to be here, then please, 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 please don't go over there to these plants. I mean, what they look like, weeds, but these are dandelions. You know, this is a life-saving plant here. This is something that you don't want to trim this down. You don't want to trim this down. I mean, it's right here on this, you know, bottle of Roundup that you guys use. I don't even want you using none of this stuff. Using none of it. None of it at all. Just don't. So I went out there the other day and just sectioned off areas that I would consider they would kind of think that were weeds or something like that. So I just sectioned it all off. So if they were to come out, and surely I was thinking like maybe if they were to come out, they would probably come tomorrow. They'd probably come tomorrow. And sure enough, they came out here and did that. So I'm gonna have a talk with the person who oversees the property, and if you are gonna send your landscapers out, and please don't have them come on this day. Please don't. You know, it's peaceful on the seventh day, and it's the last thing you want to hear on Sabbath morning is a lawnmower going and where it is going. Now, granted, you do have people in the area. My closest neighbor is, you know, not too far, but you know, when it comes to their landscaping, they do it throughout the week. So I'm like, well, why did y'all decide today? Why did you decide today to do it? Yeah. I was talking with my kids about that, especially with the garden area that we've constructed. We've already have it aligned against the fence. Only thing I have to do is just put up a couple of posts, maybe some chicken wire or something to kind of section it off. Because I'm going to eventually have to do it because of the animals. because there's so many of them. And, you know, I've seen rabbits out here, you know, they see any type of vegetation, they're going to go for it. They're going to go for it. So as soon as my okra gets to sprouting, the animals are going to try to have a free dinner. And I don't want to, they're not going to do that on my expense. So we're going to try to section that off. And yeah, you know, just what got me is when they did the landscaping prior and they were cutting down what they thought were weeds, is that along the fence line was the poison ivy that was just going for what it knew. I mean, it was just all up and down the fence line. I had to go out there and you know, chop it all down. I had to, you know, strap myself up pretty good because, you know, my skin is, with certain plants, it just gets kind of agitated. My daughter got the worst end of it. She can just look at poison ivy and it just break out. Also, with certain members of my family also apply. So I got like a little taste of it. Sometimes it causes a reaction. Sometimes it doesn't. But what got me is like, well, you got all this ivy out here growing in the yard, but you left it untouched. But you out here cutting down, you know, these plants that you think are weeds, and they're not weeds. So what are you guys doing? What are you doing? You know, this is a dandelion. You know, this is right here. It's very, very good for your heart. And here it is now with all these COVID shots causing all this COVID inflammation. This is something that you need. It's something that you need. But, you know, it's definitely a lesson learned. And I will have a talk with the real estate company about that. Nothing that those guys are doing. I mean, they don't know. They just go out there doing their jobs. They have no idea. But at the same time, if there's some plants that need preserving, that's definitely one that you want to preserve. All right. So again, as I mentioned earlier, Brother Sean will not be joining us for our 5 p.m. study because he's having issues with his internet. So I will carry over for his usual slot, and we'll just combine our little current events and SOP. We'll go a little long. We will. We'll go a little long because there's so much. There's so much. It's always something going on. There's so much that we can talk about in this world, dealing with current events and just watching people on a day-to-day basis, just seeing the fear in their eyes, the fear and the uncertainty. Now, when I do have conversations with people, and my kids, they notice this with me all the time, especially now when this whole COVID thing kicked off. They see that I do it in kind of like a joking manner. We might go into a store, and the store, no one's wearing masks. There's no social distancing. Even though the stickers are everywhere, and they got the big sign on the door that says, you know, masks are required. And no one's wearing it. No one's wearing it at all. And I walk in the store, and I'll look at my kids, and I'll say, well, yeah, COVID is definitely not on the rise in here. And they know. And it's a little inside joke between us because of the song. I've talked about it before, that one song that the United Nations put on their website. They put it directly on their website where they're literally singing about COVID, telling the world the true intentions about, the true intent about COVID as being a disguise for the New World Order. They're singing a song about it, And I played it so much with my kids that every time they walk into a store and they're not following the so-called guidelines or mandates, that's the first thing I'll say is that, oh, COVID's not on the rise in here. And they get it. They get what I'm saying. They understand the little inside joke. But you go to some of these stores and you just see, oh, man, where did we go? I wanted to go get a belt. For my son, and I went to TJ Maxx, and before we weren't going into that store quite often because they were very, very, very adamant about the whole mask policy and everything. I mean, they would get right in your face. You could not even step in the door unless you had one on, and if you didn't, they would, like, here you go, sir, here you go, your mask, or here you go. And I'm like, I don't want to do business with y'all. I don't even want to go through this whole protocol. I don't feel like it. It's just too much. You know, if you're going to go through all of this and be fearful with this whole, you know, COVID thing, then we're not even going to, you know, give you the business. So we just go somewhere else and make our purchases there. But I was surprised. The first time I went, and now that the restrictions have been lifted from the governor here in the state of Georgia, a lot of these retailers are now kind of going back to quote-unquote normal, even though they're not, because their employees are still wearing a mask and they're still, you know, have the signs up, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm in line with my item and I'm getting ready to purchase, and this lady, she comes directly behind me. I guess she's looking at some goods in the area where you would check out at, and she didn't pay it any mind. She didn't pay it any mind, but she was looking around, and she saw the sticker on the ground. She saw the sticker, and she sees me without a mask. She has her mask on, and she made it her business to step back and then to step on the sticker. I mean, perfectly right directly on this thing. Now, granted, the space to her left, the space to her right, the space behind her is okay, but why would you make sure that you would stand directly on that sticker? And it just shows fear. It just showed the fear for me. Like, why? You see all these people walking around here in the open environment, open air, the kids, you know, people talking, you know, just, you know, enjoying the day, making their purchases. You know, why is the fear still, you know, prevalent among people? Now, this has been going on since March of last year, and here it is almost July. It's almost July. So this is going on for over a year, and people are still afraid. They're still afraid of this so-called pandemic. This is why the Word of God is so important in our day, so important. I mean, it's always been important, even now more than ever, because of the fear among people, fear. Now, fear is an excellent motivator, but the Word of God says a lot about fear. And let me turn to this passage here. Isaiah, it's very, very familiar chapter. In this church family, because he speaks so much from this particular chapter. And let me turn here right quick for you guys, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to talk a little bit about this fear and the reason why it's going on. And okay, Isaiah chapter 8. Verse is 11 through 13. And it reads, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." But yeah, it's still just like Brother Joe just said here. Who's putting the fear out there? Who's putting the fear? If it weren't for this TV, if it weren't for social media, if it weren't for your phones, you know, tablets, you know, or for this various form of technology, you know, you could be in a coma and wake up and would have no idea that there was a so-called pandemic going on. You would have no idea. But because this stuff is advertised almost 24/7, because it's, you know, shown on all these various networks, you know, you can't even open up a video. You can't even look on YouTube without something about COVID. Or something about some type of pharmaceutical they're constantly throwing in your face. If you didn't have this technology, you wouldn't have no idea. But they're doing exactly what they said they was going to do in Event 201. That they were going to flood the media constantly, constantly with this fear message. and they're constantly putting it out there. So people constantly remain afraid of this pandemic. They're afraid. Again, this is why the word of the Lord is so important. I talk with my kids on how the Bible, the word, covers every single aspect of our life. Every single aspect. Why? Because God created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So we covered it all. He covered it all. He may not have to go into such explicit detail. He can say just a few words. Just a few words. And he can go and cover so much. So much with just a few words. It's something as simple as thou shalt not bear false witness. You can go so far with just a handful of words. So far with that. So far. Fear. Fear message. Fearing the wrong things or the wrong people can lead to your death. This is why so many people are lining up for their death, lining up with these death shots, because they fear the government. They fear this virus. They fear the wrong things. Fear the wrong things. While appropriate fear, like the fear of the Lord, as Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, tendeth to life. Tendeth to life. Now we just read from Isaiah, strictly warn the people not to fear the threat from the nation of Assyria. You know, we can actually read our entire chapter, but that's what is summarizing there in Isaiah chapter 8. For invading and capturing Jerusalem and Judah. Now, if you go back in the previous chapter and then kind of get some context here, in chapter 7, and this would be verses 5 through 9. This kind of gives you an idea of why the people were so fearful and what they were doing, what they were going or planning to do, instead of putting their trust and faith in God Almighty. This is what they were planning to do. I mean, I was discussing this with my kids, and we were reading Joshua, and we were reading how when God, chose Joshua to lead Israel, and how many times he kept telling Joshua to be strong and of what? Good courage. He kept telling him over and over and over and over. So to have courage, that means you're not fearful. You're not fearful. And he's telling them this, and Joshua took it and ran with it and ran with it, facing all these heathen, idolatrous nations, still went and conquered it, and with the Lord right beside him. Right beside him. There was no fear. Yet today, the churches are just done away with that. We're going to do it, whatever the government tells us to do. We're going to do what they tell us to do. It makes no sense. I mean, let me go back and rewind a little bit if I want to read that passage for you guys. In Isaiah chapter 7, to get some context of what we just read in Isaiah chapter 8. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. And it reads, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Verse 8. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Belief. Belief over fear. But most of the people did not fear God enough to put their trust in him. They didn't do it then. They're still not doing it now. The leaders considered alliances with other nations. Other nations. to face the threat of war with other nations. And now what do people do? What were they doing then? They're seeking wisdom from mediums, you know, a la King Saul. Necromancers. Consulting with the dead instead of seeking wisdom from God. And what does Isaiah say in Isaiah chapter 8? Let's go back. 1 from 20 to verse 19. Again, I'm sure many here are very familiar with this passage. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 reads, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for living to the dead?" And what are people doing now? I mean, just like I talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago. TikTok for the very first time. You're just going through, just seeing what this app's all about. You know, finding some good messages. But for the most part, I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, within a few minutes of being on that app, and I don't know how it did it. Maybe because of a lot of things I search for on the net have to deal with religion. I'm getting like these advertisements or subtle videos that had to deal with tarot card reading using crystals. I'm like, where's all this stuff coming from? Where is all this coming from? And you would, every four or five videos, the next one that popped up was someone doing some type of live tarot card reading. One was on using a Ouija board. I was like, no. This is not going to work. This is not going to work here. I mean, again, just like with most social media, you'll find some amazing stuff. If you really have to just filter out all the trash that's on there. And there's a lot. You know, if you're weak, you'll fall for it. You'll fall for it. You'll look at this stuff and fall right for it. Next thing you know, you're on a dark side that you will see absolutely no recovery from. No recovery. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. I mean, you find this out with YouTube. You go on YouTube, you look at one video, and the next thing you know, they have a little suggested video. Then you're looking at something to do with Jerusalem. Next thing you know, they're showing you something to do with rabbits. And from rabbits to what happened in 9/11, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It never ceases. And it's like they kind of form and construct your thinking to the way they want you to think. The next thing you know, you're getting interested in something that you would never been interested in. And they push it. You have to be very, very, very careful in that realm. Very careful. Now, as we just read in that passage in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, history showed us, if you fear God, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. But those nations were spared because God protected them. God protected them. The southern kingdom of Judah. And its main city was not protected. The times and circumstances have changed here in the 21st century. I mean, but again, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. You can talk about foreign nations in this country. People talk about China coming in. They talk about Russia. They talk about all these foreign countries, and you talk with them, and like, oh, I'm good. You know, I got my protection. I'm good. I got my arms. I got my guns. So people don't fear. They don't fear an invasion, so to speak. They don't fear these things. But they're fearing a virus. They're fearing a virus. And this fear is very, very misplaced fear. And it's causing many to die. Again, many are lining up for the shot. They're going in, and every other day I see an article, story, video of people suffering supposed adverse reactions when, having Bell's palsy is not an adverse reaction. Having rashes covered all over your body is not an adverse reaction. Having your heart inflamed no swelling up, is not an adverse reaction. And that's just a few. That's just a few of them. And now there's so many reports that reports are being scrubbed, reports are being removed. I mean, I'm sure many of you have seen the video where now the people who run the Veer's website are going and scrubbing the depths. They're scrubbing the depths. Thankfully, there are people who are archiving the reports. Say you would have a report, just give a random number, 77567, and it would show this person died as a result of the Moderna vaccine. Now people are going and researching that same exact number, and the person, the report is not showing that a person died. It's showing that they may have suffered a mild reaction. So now even the Veer's site itself can't be trusted. It can't be trusted. No, it's bad enough they're only showing 1% of the data. Then you have people within organizations come out and admitting that the data is old, almost 60 to 90 days old. So it's not accurate. Then you have many doctors who are receiving reports and are not reporting. They're not reporting. And this is how you know that the system is purely money-driven, because if the doctors were reporting, they would be out of a job. They'd be out of a job real quick. And people would see them like, hey, you know, your patients, you know, they're dying. they're dying from these shots. Something's not right here. You know, so-and-so was just there, and the next thing you know, they're in the hospital because of this COVID shot. This COVID shot. But again, you know, people are lining up. They're going to take it. Because they fear the government. They fear this virus. And many are dying because they're putting their trust in the medical system and their sorceries. This is Vatican pharmakia. Nothing but drugs and vaccines. That's all it is. That's all it is. There never has a time in history where there's just so many pharmaceuticals out there. Never. I mean, you cannot even go into a Rite Aid store. You do, like, I walk into the store and just look around. Just look and look and look and look. Just aisles just full of just this pill, that pill, this herb and that herb. You know, like, how many different brands of cough syrup do you need? And you look, and you see all the ingredients in this stuff. And right away, you just know, like, ah, no, that's bad. Like, do you have anything here that's remotely close to being healthy? I mean, I could go in a convenience store. At least they have an apple or a banana sitting at the checkout counter. Y'all have nothing of the sorts. Nothing, but they're supposed to be all about health and a person's well-being, but it's everything is completely the opposite, completely the opposite. And these places are conveniently located right next to a doctor's office or a hospital or something to deal with the medical field. So as soon as you come out with your ailments or your problems, then you can just go right to the CVS and right to the Rite Aid, you know, right to the Walgreens and get some more Vatican pharmacia. And the way the system is set up is something to just really wonder and marvel at. It really, really is. Seeing how these stores are set up. But again, because people are trusting in this stuff, they're putting more fear into the government, fear into this virus. People are dying. And many more people are going to die. They put their trust in this corrupt medical system. Instead of trusting God and fearing Him. Trusting God. Fearing Him. Now, when Israel was God's chosen people, when they were a chosen nation in the OT, even in, books of the New T, before they lost that in the book of Acts, when they were a chosen nation, because God established His covenant with them, with them. And it resulted in God giving them His law, summarized by the Ten Commandments. But we are now living under the new covenant. And we see Israel, they are no longer this favored nation. They're not. But if you look at the television, you hear a lot of these Sunday keeping preachers. They continue to push Israel. You have to stand with Israel. You have to be one with Israel. You know, it's kind of in the same sense as a fear message. Because if you are not siding with Israel, you know, bad things are going to happen. And they actually pronounce the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and put them in that same respect. This is the reason why certain things are happening to you in your life, because you are not blessing Israel. You are not siding with Israel. But what I don't understand is that how are these preachers, how do they ignore certain things that Israel is doing? How do they ignore this stuff? I mean, just last week we talked about them constructing this huge flag. I mean, huge flag right in Tel Aviv. Huge LGBT flag. And then they do things like this that just make you just scratch your head and wonder, like, how are Sunday keeping preachers still pushing this Israel message? Is there something hanging over their head where they're just fearful that if they do not push this message, they'll lose their quote-unquote tax-exempt status? Headline, Israel's foreign ministry waves LGBTQ pride flag for the first time. So they've never done this. But today, or according to this post, which was just a couple of days ago, this is 5 days ago, they did this. This thing is humongous. And it's sitting right there beside that nation's flag. Again, the Bible shuns what these people are representing. So how is it that these preachers still push that you gotta side with Israel? You have to side with the Jews. You have to be one with them. So that shows there is some fear there. There is some fear with these preachers. There is some fear that Israel holds over them. There is some fear. And this is something that our God tells us that we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. I'm going to read this passage here in Ephesians. Because sometimes the reminder is needed when it comes to Israel and their chosen nation status, and how Paul spoke vehemently against it. Like, hey, just being, of a bloodline, or no, that's no. God's people are those that love him and keep his commandments and have faith in his son. I mean, it was that easy to just get guaranteed, nation guaranteed favored person status, then I would just go and marry a Jew. I'm right into the family. Think about it. It never made no sense to me. It didn't make no sense. I would assault an Israelite wife. I would go right into the Middle East, go right into the country, and like, hey, my children are guaranteed heaven. I'm guaranteed heaven because I just married a Jew. That never sat well with me. Even in the Sunday Keeping Church, it never sat well with me. How is it that these people are inclusive and the rest of the world is not? It never made any sense to me. But when you read passages like these in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to pull this up here. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 and 22. The Israel changed laws, so they're working on it. Oh, yeah. definitely when it comes to their laws, and that's something that they exalt now are these Noahide laws, and that's something that I'm going to put a study together, because those Noahide laws is something I believe they're going to try to push in the future and link it with the guillotine. I will definitely have something for you guys because of how they define blasphemy and how they want nothing to do. You know, over there they can't canceled out, so to speak, Isaiah chapter 53. That literally tells them about Jesus coming to die for them. It tells them. But over there, if you talk about this book, if you read or quote from this book, I mean, serious consequences. Serious consequences for those who preach Isaiah chapter 53. Serious consequences. Or preach that Jesus is the Son of God. You preach that that he is like a person of the Godhead. I mean, just serious consequences. All right, so Isaiah 2, verses 11 through 22. And how do preachers get past verses like these? I don't know, but they are there plain as day. And it reads, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye whom sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." And I'm sure many have encountered that particular passage when it comes to, oh, this is why we can keep the first day of the week, because Christ abolished the law. He abolished the law. Even though right there in that same passage it says it's contained in ordinances. I mean it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. I did not know that thou shalt not lie was in, and thou shalt not bear false witness was in ordinance. I did not notice. But okay, this is what they say. But moving on. "And that he might reconcile both, unite unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of one and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I'm going to just go off topic for a little bit, but you can kind of tell that Paul and Peter were hanging out a lot. I mean, because you just, some of the wording that Paul uses and some of the wording that Peter uses, you know, speaking of the cornerstone there, I mean, it's just very, 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 very similar. Very similar. That's just the writing style. The writing style. I get kind of giddy over things like that. I love English. I know English and writing and grammar. So when I kind of notice the little things. Even talking about strangers and foreigners, same kind of wording. But they have their own style, but it's very, very similar. And it's kind of like when I see those kind of passages. But again, rewind a little bit. Talk about Israel. In many places of the New Testament, many, many places, where the word nation is used, it's not referring to the little geographical location. It's not referring to a certain spot, you know. It's not. And here, it's referring to the people of God. The people of God. Clearly the people of God. Regardless of where you're from, regardless of your color, regardless, it is the people of God that love Him, keep His commandments, and have faith in His Son, Christ Jesus. Now, as I was talking about earlier with Peter, and just listen to the way he worded certain passages, and how you can tell that him and Paul spent some time together. They did. Just very, 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 very similar. No, not exact to a T, but just some of the wording. Some of the wording here. Like here in this is 1 Peter. I'll back it up a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But Peter is also speaking about what it means to be a favorite nation. Verses 9 and 10. Chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood and holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Pretty clear. You look at the world today. Look at the world. There's only two classes. That's it. Those who are in the kingdom of light, of truth, and those who are living in the kingdom of darkness. The darkness that Peter just talked about here. Calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light, into his marvelous truth, into life. When you have kingdoms, you have rulers of those particular kingdoms. So, of course, when it comes to the kingdom of light, it is God. And the kingdom of darkness is the prince of darkness, Satan. So all these different identities, all these genders, all you can be cisgender, transgender, you can be, God, there's just so much. Every day they come out with something. I mean, it's just every single day they change just over and over and over and over and over. And they push it to the kids. That's their main target audience, is the children. And they push this stuff in these schools. And these kids know more about all these different gender types than they do who was the very first president. I mean, just simple stuff like that. And they push it upon these kids, not knowing that that's it. There's only two classes of people on this earth. That is it. So if your family got family members right now who are living in the kingdom of darkness, y'all may share the same last name. You cannot be united as one. You cannot be united. Y'all are not walking together because you're not agreed. You have family members right now who are not keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. And you know it. You may have talked to them about it. You may have shared verses and studies, et cetera, et cetera. But they still refuse to believe it. And they still believe that the law is abolished. And you cannot fellowship with them. You cannot, because you are not in agreement. Yes, you love them as your family. You love them, but you're not in agreement. If you fear them when they come at you, especially when this whole climate change Sunday law goes mainstream, and they're pushing it in your face, and like, hey, come on, this is a good thing. It's for the environment. It's for family. You see what the locking down on Sunday has done. It's beautiful. I mean, you should see how pollution is cleared up. We got more water, the heat, and all these things. They'll just keep on pushing. Yet, you have to stand firm on your foundation. Stand firm. Like, no. Because you know eventually all of that's going to turn. It's going to turn. For the worse. Because y'all saying like, hey, okay, everything just stopped for a certain day, but now it looks like the calamities are increasing. Well, you know why the calamities are increasing? Because you're not keeping, keeping the family there. You're not keeping the rest there. You're not keeping the climate Sunday. That's what they're going to push. They're going to make it look like you are so bad, are so evil for not doing as they do. The same method they're doing right now with the vaccine and the mask. Same exact tactics. This is like a little test run that we're all going through and experiencing right now. Same little test run. But all these groups, all these ethnic groups, all these religions, all these different genders that the enemy says you can be, it's only being used to divide us. And people are fearful of the unknown. This is why when you go to certain places, you see people, especially in schools. School is like the breeding ground for this. It's the breeding ground. Where people only associate themselves with certain classes. You have schools where you have a group of people that they call the jocks. Some they call nerds. Some who are like goth. And you'll see it at lunch tables. You'll see it at recess. You'll see certain kids who just flock to certain children because of their skin color or because of the way they dress. No, I was the type in school, and I see this developing even in my son, it didn't matter who I was around. It didn't matter. I talked about this before in my school. Skin color wasn't pretty much too much of an issue because my school was 90% white. 90% white, it was maybe 8% black, and the rest were Hispanic, Latino, and Native American. So, as far as diversity, you had to intermingle with people who are outside your race. And then when you discover, when you talk to other people, you're like, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. They're going to sit here and tell you outside the family, you shouldn't hang around a certain group, and because of this happened in the past, and that happened in the past. I'm like, some of my best friends growing up in school were white. Some of my best friends. And I've talked about this before. The ones who've done the worst things to me coming up in life were black. Some of the worst. Having a house broken into, having a car broken into, being held up at gunpoint, being patted down and profiled by a black police officer. I mean, some of the worst things that happened. So now this whole, race thing, this is what the enemy pushes out there to keep people divided. As long as he has you divided, you are not seeing what's really, really going on. You're not seeing the big picture. And so many people, they identify themselves based on their skin color. This is what's going on with the Jews right now. Oh, you're anti-Semite. Anti-Semite. You say anything negative against the Jewish nation. Anything negative. Anything. Our identity and our sense of self-worth should never be based on putting yourself in a certain group or a certain class like black or white or LGBT, whatever it may be, because again, there's so many groups out there. There's only two classes. There's only two on this earth. There's two in the beginning. There's two in the end. There's two. That's it. That's it. In the end, you know, after all this is said and done, there's only be one class, which is sons and daughters of God, and that's it. That is it. But as of right now, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. That's it. We're all born naturally through the flesh into the kingdom of darkness due to our sins. When we are born again, we experience that real spiritual rebirth. And I just find a hard time where so many people are just so fearful. So fearful, so afraid. I mean, everyone's going to die. Everyone's going to die. But the real death is the second death. That's one you don't want to have no parts in. no parts at all. No parts. Whenever you're dealing with children, you have to give them that reminder. And I don't push it on my kids as a sort of hell and brimstone. You do a certain thing and this is going to be the result. But at the same time, we're also our children by God's love and His mercy. But you see so many of these world leaders, all these different doctors who are pushing, this negative health message, especially with these pharmaceuticals or these lies with climate change, and yet God still shows these people this great mercy, great mercy. So in the end, they will have no excuses, no excuse. And that applies to every single one of us, the extent of God's mercy, the extent of His grace, learning the true fear, not to fear man, but the true and reverent fear for our Creator God. And I talked about this earlier with Solomon. Matter of fact, let's go to that verse. Let me go to that verse, because Solomon spoke on it a few times, but his father, David, also spoke on it too in Psalms. But it's just an example that comes to mind in Proverbs chapter 9. Let me pull this passage up here. Chapter 9, verses 10 and 12. And it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." Now, even right there in that particular passage, when Solomon is telling us that your days are going to be multiplied, your days are going to be increased. Why? Because the fear of God, it means you're keeping His law. And right there in that fifth commandment is you honor your father and your mother. For what? Your days are going to be long upon the land. The Lord thy God giveth thee. Clearly. Right there with a promise attached to it. The fear in God is not just me being afraid of Him. And even though in a sense it kind of includes that. In a sense. But at the same time, He's our God. He created you. He created the very earth that you live on. He created it. And it has to be pretty powerful. pretty powerful. And not just the earth, but I mean just this expansive universe that just goes on and on and on. I was looking at this video, you're YouTube and you're just looking at things, people talking about flat earth, and you go and you exert comments and you try to sow a few seeds here and there. But this is one video that caught my eye, and it was just going from the distance between these various planets. And the way this guy did this in this video, I'm like, wow, it just shows just how much of a speck of dust we are in this vast, expansive universe that you got to be a very, very naive person. First of all, you believe that it's just Earth or nothing else. You have to be extremely naive, because the way he did it was that he showed the planets how close they were to the sun, how close they were to the sun. And even in this very video, he even noted, now I don't know if this guy was a keeper, I don't know if he was, I have no idea as far as his religious background, but he even noted in the video that the Earth was the center of the universe. He even noted in the video. And he was zooming out of each planet. So he had the planet very, very, very big, but the one he didn't want to get some information about. Then he would zoom it out, and he would go to the next planet that was even farther from the sun. And he was just showing the distance. And with each planet, you can just see the Earth getting smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where it wasn't even invisible anymore. It wasn't invisible. And it's showing the distance. I mean, just millions and millions of light years away from this planet to that planet to that planet to the Orion Nebula, just going on and on and on and on and on. So one planet that was just huge. I mean, this thing was humongous. And I was like, wow. it just shows him, like, okay, those planets were created. You can just even imagine. You can't, because we as individuals, we look at things in our dark eyes, just can't even imagine the vast superiority, the size, I mean, just of the Father. you can't, but at the same time, he's everywhere. So you can't put him in that box. You can't put them in that box that we ourselves would want to put, you know, everything into. You know, you can put food in a box. You can put water, you know, in your refrigerator. You can put that in a bottle. But as far as, you know, our God, you can't do it. You can't do it. It's beyond your realm of even comprehending. And he created all of that and still put so much into us, this Earth, me being the size of even smaller than dust, that he even says that's the very element that he used to create us, is the dust from the Earth. Dust. We weren't even good enough to be mud or dirt, but dust. And his very breath of life. The Lord is my shepherd. Whom shall I fear? Why should I fear man? Why should I? Once we grow in God's love for us, and that love is made possible through the shed blood of Jesus as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that afraid part of fear, and that the Sunday keeping, you know, preachers preach, you know, the hell and brimstone, that fear disappears. That fear subsides, because we become secure in his love. We become secure in the name of the Lord, the strong tower that we're going to run into and be safe. We become secure into it, to the point where we actually start relying on it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, expecting him to do the things that he promised in his word. First John, let me move to this passage. First John chapter 4, verses 16 and 19. It's the longest chapter in that epistle. No, chapter 3 is the longest. This is chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. You know, as we just talked about, you know, the hell, the brimstone, that's torment right there. I'm like, what kind of God do you serve that just going to burn you and burn you and burn you forever and ever and ever and ever? Is he ever satisfied? Is he ever satisfied? I mean, just going to keep on and on and on and on and on for just this short little time that I lived on this planet. And for some people, you know, now with the homicide rates and murder rates going up, they don't even live to see 20, 30. Yeah, for that short little time on Earth, it's just going to just burn and burn and burn and burn forever and ever. That didn't make no sense to me. But at the same time, growing up, that kept me fearful as a child. Oh, man. You know, if I do this, you know, I'm going to die tomorrow, and I'm going to just burn forever and ever and ever. I mean, it was something that was pushed upon us a lot by the elders, a lot. But perfect love casteth out fear. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And they want to call this hate speech. They want to call these very words of life hate speech. This is what they do. This is what they do. This is love. This is real. Real love. And this fear message that the world pushes out there to keep you fearful, to keep you tormented, is not real love. Is not. They exhibit love in a manner that now, especially with this whole Pride Month, is just utterly disgusting. I mean, I couldn't believe this because I grew up on this show. I grew up on it. No. Public broadcasting station, and you learn a lot with this particular show. You know, you learn a lot of your numbers and alphabet, counting, reading, you know, different even historical events. It was a staple growing up in this show. It was done on Sesame Street. It was on, and me and my cousins, we watched it and we loved it. We loved it. They would have different celebrities on, and they would come and do things, and they would talk. I mean, there was nothing that was vulgar, nothing that was dealing with today's social climate in this show that would raise red flags. But oh, how this show has changed now. It has changed. We talked earlier this year about how they were using these characters to promote the agenda to kids. They had one particular character they were using, Grover, to push the Great Reset. The Great Reset. You know, saying it's a good thing to reset your bodies. Comparing them, a reset an alarm clock to now is a good thing, kids, that we need to reset the world. Reset the entire world. And then just a few months later, they were using one of the Muppets, the Elmo, to push the vaccine. To push the vaccine. You know, saying that, oh, it's a good thing, kids. I've gotten my vaccine. It's a good thing for you children to get the vaccine. And here's kids watching this stuff. And their little minds are being molded because they're like little sponges. They're taking all this and just absorbing it in, sucking it all in. These are kids. Now, look what they do. This is what they do to children. And here it is in their supposed Pride Month that Canada wants to keep going, not just for a month, but for an entire season. And before you know it, that season we're going to extend for a year. And then before you know it, it'll just be Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. Men's hearts set on evil continually. That's what it'll be. Headline, Sesame Street introduces family with two gay dads for the first time in 51-year history. It's like I wanted to just, you know, shake my head when I saw this. Matter of fact, let me see if I can these things always throwing these ad blocking pop-ups. Where is that? Because I was showing it to my kids. We were talking about it, and they were just shaking their heads. They're doing the same thing. Let me see if I can find this. Because they only got the pictures. I see an actual video of this thing. Let me see. Where is it? It was a CNN. Let me see if I can find this. Here it is. Okay, this is. Oh, it was on Twitter. That's what it was on. Okay, it was on Twitter. Why I gotta reload it? Did they delete it? They must have deleted it. Let me see. Sesame Street. Okay, I'm gonna click this here. Okay, so they didn't delete the tweet, it just got moved. Okay, so I'm gonna play this. And this is what they're doing to kids. These are kids, there's nothing but kids. Kids are watching this, they're kids in the show. All these kids are probably, none of them are older than 10. And they have all the Muppets and, this is bad. It's very bad.
My brother Dave, hi. His husband Frank, hi. And my sobrina Mia.
Right away, there was a problem. Right away, there was a problem. Because the introduction. You're introducing these kids to this man, and then you just throw it on the slide. You say, and his husband. There's no one there, you know, asking questions. No one's saying, like, wait a minute, it's your husband. Or, wait a minute. You know, I got a mom, you know. How is this even, you know, nobody's saying nothing. But it goes on as to even the reason why. And this is the reason why.
Are you kidding? We wouldn't have missed family day for anything. Yeah, there's all kinds of different families, but what makes us a family is that we love each other.
Love. This is what they call love. Totally opposite from the passage we just read in 1 John. This is what they call love. Diversity. Exactly what the enemy is doing. Keeping people divided so they do not see the truth. They do not see the big picture. They do not see that darkness sitting right there on this stage. And what's being pushed to children. All you can just say is woe to these people. Woe to these producers. Woe to these managers. Woe to these directors that are pushing this agenda to these kids, that are pushing this agenda to these minors. That's where the Lord says it is better that a millstone be hung around their neck and they be drowned in the depths of the sea. They're going to see all this. They're going to meet all of this again. They're going to meet all of this again. They rise in judgment. And that great law, the Ten Commandments, is presented before them. And those eyes of Jesus are staring right there in their faces. And they become conscious of every single sin, every single one. They're going to remember these things. They're going to remember writing and bringing these people on here. to present this before children. And in some cases, they might even see those same children inside the city. But you tried to turn me out. You tried to make me as you are. To groom me. This is pedophilia in a nutshell. But if you go out and say it all, oh, you're a hater. Oh, you're preaching this, you know, hate speech. These are kids. And this is what they're pushing before children. But it doesn't stop, brothers and sisters. It doesn't stop the things that they're doing to kids who know that this stuff is wrong. They know it. Where the Lord tells us that even a child is known by his doings, whether or not his work be pure, whether or not be right. A child knows. He sees this stuff. I'm like, hey, wait, maybe something ain't right about this. I'm sure all those kids are on gag orders. I mean, they're all on the show. Parents can't say nothing. The parents of those kids are just as wrong because they're allowing their kids to be on this show with this stuff being pushed in front of them. And then what they'll do to those who object is they'll receive harsh treatment. They'll be treated as outcasts. They'll be punished, as this child was here at this school. Headline, Christian student placed in isolation, while teacher taught Pride Month lesson, where students shown a video of teacher explaining use of non-traditional and transgender pronouns. Yeah. Let me pull this up. And this is in Virginia. I used to live there, so it's a state that I'm quite familiar with. And they've always been like a battleground state. Always been battleground. So you can't really say this is very conservative. You can't say that it's very liberal because it's like right in the middle. It's very, very diverse. If you want to know diversity, go to Virginia. Live in Hampton Roads, you see people from all walks of life. All walks. And they teach it. They preach it. It's in the schools. It is definitely there. It's there. I believe it's what they say that in the Mason-Dixon lines. Mason-Dixon lines. So you're at the very heart of, you know, being in the South and being in the North, and Virginia is like that battleground. It's right there. Well, now, this school, I mean, if I just pull this headline up here, says a London County middle schooler whose family asked that he not be exposed to transgender themes that go against their faith was placed in a small room adjacent to the dean's office during that class the next day rather than an alternate lesson, according to the parents. So that right there is to tell you what their true agenda is about. Because if you have this lesson that you want to teach and you have kids that don't agree with it, then give them the option to either present their objections so the other students can look at them like, you know what, maybe what the teacher is saying doesn't make sense versus what this student is saying here. But it's a my way or the highway sort of presentation. Either you're going to do this, you're going to accept your child to this, or we're going to put them in a solitary confinement, you know, for lack of better words. I mean, they're doing the same thing on something similar to cadets at West Point who refused the COVID vaccine. Like, oh, you don't want to take the vaccine? Well, guess what? You're going to be in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. You're only going to get 1 hour out of the day for exercise. That's it. That's it. You still got to wear your mask, even though you're in there by yourself. You still got to undergo testing, even though you're in there by yourself. You can't even be around other cadets. We're going to just lock you up until you succumb. And these are things that you have to be aware of, because these are the same tactics the enemy is going to use to push forward this under law. Like, oh, you don't want to comply? Or we're just going to outcast you from society. That's what you're going to be. You can see how they're doing this even with relocating the families. Even though the executive orders, you know, designating certain areas as off limits. And the areas that they were targeting were like rural communities. There was absolutely nothing going on, just a quiet, this peace, you got the animals, you got the plants, you have creation, you have nature. And they'll cook up a lie and say, oh, it's, you know, COVID is on the rise, and in this area, you can just see COVID is just surging, even though the rural town maybe has a population of 200. They go, it's all in the livestock. The pigs are having the virus. Oh, the chickens are having this virus. You have to get all the people out of there and just totally lock off that area. And they'll do stuff like that. They'll do it. They didn't put these provisions in executive orders for no reason. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. I mean, I already know, but many of us know, there's going to be a time when they're going to come and try to force us out of our homes. Try to force us away from our positions of employment. Because we're not, you know, conceding to the things that the government says or demands. You know, the vaccines, or, I don't even like using that word vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. No push come to shove, it's lethal injection because people are dying. People are dying from this shot. They're dying. And if they aren't dying, their bodies are being chocked full of nanotechnology. I mean, have you seen all these videos with people having a whole cookware stick to them? I mean, they got knives, spoons, forks, cell phones, anything you can imagine that's has some sort of metal in it that are sticking to their bodies. And now people are even going further and saying, well, what if it's not just our bodies? What if it's something more? So now people are testing food and they're seeing that maggots are sticking to packaged meat. They're going in grocery stores, picking up packages of chicken, taking a steak and putting the magnet right to it and just sticking right there. They're sticking right to it. Or even with tofu. A lady went and got some tofu out of the store. She put a magnet on it, the magnet stuck. And it stuck. And then you see articles from DARPA, DOD, MIT, where they're saying they can use these magnetic nanoparticulates to control people remotely. They've perfected these studies in rodents. And how they can control their stress levels and release certain hormones by using the magnetic nanotechnology in combination with EMF. And we don't have to go any farther than that because we know what EMF, what they're talking about. They're talking about 5G. They're talking about the G. And that stuff is everywhere. The same G that was implemented during the first wave of lockdowns. I mean, if people just sat and took the time to think about this stuff, they could connect the dots and put two and two together. They could see everything for what it is. Like, oh, this is why, you know, people are just having these random accidents that are vaccinated. They're just, you know, going into these little trances and not knowing what happened. They are being controlled. But now we're at a state where it's far beyond, you know, chipping people. It's far beyond. They're using these diabolical inventions to sicken people, to poison people, to keep them sick for life, to profit for life, or these pharmaceutical agencies that profit for life, or these malicious doctors. That is profit. That is profit. No, a healthy person does not make money. Does not make money for a doctor. But if you sick and remain sick, oh yeah, you're going to keep that doctor's pockets fat for life. That's why they encourage it. They encourage, oh, here you go. Here goes a shot for you, not just be a shot for you, but for your kids too. What we see is you're behind schedule on your vaccine, so you got to get caught up. And they rush about 20 or 30 into your arm. If you don't know, join the military. I mean, within a couple of weeks, they present this needle and that needle and this needle. And me, I had no idea. I didn't know anything. But I specifically remember when I was in Kuwait, and they pushed the whole anthrax thing because anthrax was on the rise. It was a big, huge scare. And all the troops that were there had to get that anthrax shot. They had to get it. And this thing was maybe one of the worst shots ever taken in my entire life. And they give you this shot, and the needle is not like a hypothermic needle. And even with those hypothermic needles, we talked about that, those things, you can put billions of nanoparticulates inside hypothermic needles and inject it right into someone. You can do it with no problem. So this thing was huge. It was a huge needle. And you had to offer up your left arm. For what reason, I don't know. So you had to offer up your left arm. And you get the shot, and it makes you extremely sick. Extremely, extremely sick. It was the worst feeling I've ever had, you know, outside of having that swine flu, what they said I had back in 2008, 2009, I believe. No, I know it was around the time when Obama was going up for his first election. But I got this shot, and what it does is it makes like a small volcano on your arm. I kid you not, like a small volcano. And they tell you to leave it as is for like 7 days, not to touch it, don't do anything, because it's extremely contagious. If you touch this and touch any other part of your body, like your eye, your mouth, your tongue, your nasal cavities, that if you can get infected. Now, they're giving you this and telling you that it's going to cause further infection when all of us were perfectly fine before we had to go and get this mandatory vaccine. We're perfectly fine. Fine. So you get this thing, and it causes this big, huge, you know, volcano on your arm. And then they just say, don't mess with it because eventually it's going to fall off. Well, it does. And it falls off, and it leaves like this big, huge scar that's still on my arm to this day. Still on my arm. Now, the reason why I bring this up, because what I found quite strange, I think I talked about this with you guys a couple weeks ago, is that my shoulder just started having like this stiffness. It was like getting a bad kink in your neck. It would not go away. I was talking to some of my coworkers, and I was just, you know, at my job, and I was like, man, I just cannot shake this for nothing. So I'm being in prayer about it. I go and I put some ice on it. And it just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. Well, now it's much better. It's much better, praise the Lord. But every so often, if I just turn my neck a certain way, I can feel it. Well, doing a little research, I noticed that a lot of people who were, I don't know if they're using this as an excuse, because I'm a big proponent on EMF, big huge proponent on EMF. I work at a Marine Corps station. When they were using different equipment to calibrate other equipment, one of the standards that they used was a spectrum analyzer. And a spectrum analyzer is what you use to measure EMF waves. And I told one of the guys there, I'm like, you need to take one of these devices, because the military are using these devices. You need to take one of these devices, take it to a 5G tower and see what happens. And you'll see that the EMF that the or FCC, I don't know, whatever agency oversees this stuff, say that's normal for human exposure, you'll see that this thing is off the charts. Off the charts if you just take it anywhere near a 5G tower. And now people are just comfortable around these things all the time. So I'm a big proponent when it comes to that. So, you know, kind of backing up a little bit, I'm not in the realm of believing that it's some sort of it's got some sort of connection between those shots that I have received in the past and the whole, you know, the EMF deal. Definitely some connection there. Definitely got to be some connection, because it just came out of nowhere. It ain't like I was just, picked up something that was super heavy. It was just like, wow, this is not going away. Well, I noticed in doing my research that a lot of people were experiencing neck stiffness. And these same people were saying that they were making it known that they were not around, they were around people that had been vaccinated, and they themselves had not been vaccinated. So I was wondering if they were kind of using that as an excuse to say that, okay, because of the spike proteins and the virus setting, kind of using that instead of focusing at the real culprit, and that's being the EMF. It being the EMF. I mean, it's a lot to look into. It really is a lot to look into. The technology that they have, not using it for good at all. Everything's being used for evil. All of it's being used for evil. We have to look into it, and it makes you raise a lot of questions. And when you get to doing your research, man, you will find some stuff. You will find some stuff. You will. And when God said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he was not kidding. He was not kidding, because people are literally destroying themselves inside and outside because they don't know what they're putting into their own bodies. They have no idea. I didn't know. When you go to the military, you have no idea. They just stick this stuff in, and you have no idea. You just see one person in front of you, line up just like a cow. You line right on up. You get shot, and then next. You get shot with another shot, next. And a few days later, they say, oh, you're up for this shot, or you're up for that shot. And then yearly, they give you even more shots. And as far as health, I've had, health problems were very, very, very prevalent when I was in the service. But I couldn't understand. I mean, working out, doing PT, very, very physically fit. But why am I having all these health issues? Why am I having all these health issues? And not only that, my kids, same thing. And why were they having all these health issues? I've taken all these shots. Why were they having all these problems? It's like, you didn't know these stuff. You didn't know this stuff. Your kid can't get in school because they got to have these shots. So, as you as a parent, you think you're doing a good thing. You go and get your kids these shots. And then, one is having, heart palpitations. And one is having asthma. This kid had never had asthma. All of a sudden now, can't breathe. Now what's going on? You don't know. And now neither one of them are having those problems. Neither one. And a nebulizer, they used a nebulizer in years, because once you stop the vaccines, it's done. Then your body, takes some time to adjust and heal. But, once you stop them, that's it. That is it. Now, unfortunately for some people, the damage is going to be there. It's going to be there for life because, had so many shots over a course of time, a course of a lifetime. But the earlier you stop them, the better. And with this one, now that they're rolling out, it's something that you don't want to deal with. And so many people are going to get caught up because of the boosters that they're presenting. Now just wait till, quote-unquote, flu season rolls around. And then people are thinking, oh, it's the flu again. Well, no, nothing to tell. It's the vaccines that they've already taken are now having the effect. And you combine that with the EMF, and you're going to see people just getting sick left and right. You're going to see it. And they already know it. They're already anticipating this. They're already anticipating sicknesses. They're already anticipating more people going into the hospital. The UK is already talking about it. Here, the president's pushing it. You want to see this stuff. But again, there's no reason to be fearful because, again, you know who they're going to blame. They're going to blame. I know I kind of went off for a minute, but back to that kid. But that's what they did. The kid didn't want no part of the lesson. He didn't want no part of the lesson. His parents gave him a Christian upbringing, I guess to the best of their ability, what they believe is true. And the kid said, you know what? I don't want to have nothing to do with this transgender, LGBT stuff. I don't want nothing to do with this lesson. So instead of them finding an alternative lesson, what they decided to do was put them in solitary confinement. They did. And they had a little video up here, and he showed it. The school that went and lied and said, oh, there was sufficient space in there. He had plenty of room. We put all these kids in there. They got desks, and it was the size of a standing classroom. And the kid pulled out his cell phone and was like, it's not that. There's only enough room in here for two desks. That's it. It's about the size of a large broom closet. This is where I'm at. There's the only wall or door is a door to get in here and a door to the principal's office. And that's it. That is it. And you're going to be in there until the lesson is over. This is how they treat these children. placing them in this mindset where they have to be fearful. Now, I know you can imagine what's going on in that kid's head when the lesson was presented. But what do I do? What do I do? Do I succumb to the peer pressure with what the rest of my classmates are doing? Or do I get up right now and walk up out of here? Do I get up right now and walk up out of here? Now, personally, I mean, this is more reason why you got to get your kids out of these schools. You got to get them out. And they already set the narrative for this Delta variant, as they call it, and who is targeting kids. And they're laying it out, laying the breadcrumbs out right in time for the upcoming school year. So all it'll take is just a few kids to get sick, and they go, oh, they got the Delta variant, and it gives them a reason to do what? Lock the school down. Lock it down. And the parent, if your child's in that school, guess what? Well, your child is not contagious, so you won't be able to get them. We're going to keep them in quarantine for 14 days. And 14 days is going to be 14 more days. And then come to the point where you never see your child again. Things to consider. Definitely things to consider. That was just one. There were many, many more that I came across concerning this whole pride thing. And they keep pushing this narrative. Different groups that they're attacking with the pride. We just read about it with the children with Sesame Street. And then read about it again with the child in the school. Israel and their pride flag. The military is not even exempt. The military is not exempt. Headline. U.S. Air Force Base hosts drag show to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion. All inclusive. This is the message that they're pushing. An all inclusive message. Which meaning you and me are excluded. Excluded. This is cancer culture. Cancel everything. Cancel everything that's good and right. You're going to keep canceling, 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 and it all goes to the end game being canceling Jesus Christ, canceling the Son of God. Oh, the show, this is it's a drag show. It is a drag show. So you have men who are airmen, who are in the service, participating in a drag show. You just imagine what goes on in other countries when they see this stuff. Someone had put a little compilation on BitChute where they showed recruitment commercials. They showed one for China, they showed one for Russia, and then they showed one for America. And they showed the Chinese soldiers. I mean, they were looking all tough and gung-ho. The same thing for Russia. And then they showed Americans, and it was all about inclusion, all about the LGBT, all about some, you know, soldier joining because her two moms had paved the way for her. Or, I mean, it was just BLM, and they were showing these things. And this is what you're using to recruit young men and women, and you wonder why recruitment rates are so low? You could push this pride message all day long, but a lot of people know. They know in their heart of hearts that it's wrong. They know it's wrong. It's only the media that's putting this stuff out there. The media that's pushing it. And when you got these kids that are engrossed in media 24/7, then eventually they're going to think it's right. They're going to think it's right. You have to keep the current theme, the third engine message, in mind and continue to push and continue to preach it. Have to continue being the watchman on the wall because so many people are asleep and they have no idea what's going on. And that goes right into our SOP reading today. Right on cue. June 26, ye shall receive power, and the topic or the subject today is keeping the watchers awake. Keeping the watchers awake. This verse is Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Nearer than we believe. Oh, yeah, brother. They are definitely doing the military. They are definitely doing the military, the Air Force. The Navy has been that way for a long time, but they kind of kept it on the rocks. Just why the village people. I mean, this is old. This is very, very, very old. But a lot of those things are kind of the policy in the service was don't ask, don't tell. That was the policy. Now, that's just got crumbled up and thrown in a trash can. Now you have people who are supposed to be defending this country who are doing these things, and they expect no positive results? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, it was very, very bad when Obama was in office. All that, the memes with him, the political cartoons with him. I mean, they would have, you know, the Russian president looking all gung-ho, looking all tough. And he's out there wrestling a bear. And they'll have Obama dressed up in a robe with pink slippers on. I mean, they would do stuff like that. They would do stuff like that. It's to show, you know, the weakness of this military. And it's all going in stages. It's all going in stages. They're beginning at the local level. Defunding the police, and you see what's happening with the homicide race. Now the police are being defunded in certain cities. The murder rates in Chicago are skyrocketing. I mean, the people are getting killed in broad daylight. In broad daylight. Execution style. New York crime is going up. LA crime is going up. So you do these things at a local level first. And you just go up a little higher. So the next level, it's not a federal level. Now you got the military. Now they're introducing all of these, you know, transgender this, LGBT that, all inclusive. It's going up the chain. So, okay, we couldn't do it at a local level because now we see what's going on there. You know, the land is full of bloody crimes. The federal level, the military is too weak. They're going to be overrun by enemies. So what do? Enter the UN police. Enter the blue helmets. I mean, you can see it. Thank you there, brother. You are right on line. Make a chain. For the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 23. Notice he said, the cities. City. I walk outside, I don't see nothing going on around here. Absolutely nothing. I barely hear a siren. A gun, nothing. Nothing at all. I call some of my cousins that live in the city, and like, you just constantly hear, just constantly. None of that out here. None of it. Continue to remain a watchman. Sister White says, my brethren, you must have Jesus enthroned within, and self must die. We must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then we shall not sit down saying unconcernedly, what is to be will be. Prophecy must be fulfilled. This is an issue that a lot of SDAs have, you know, being comfortable. Being comfortable. Saying that, hey, if the mark is going to be enforced, the mark is going to be enforced. God said it. It's going to happen. But that still does not stop you from still going out and promoting and pushing the third angel's message. Especially now when the writing is on the wall concerning the climate change Sunday law. Oh, awake, I pray you, awake. For you bear the most sacred responsibilities as faithful watchmen. You should see the sword coming and give the warning that men and women may not pursue a course through ignorance that they would avoid if they knew the truth. Again, my people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. If they knew the truth, they wouldn't be lining up as lambs to the slaughter to get this poison injected into their veins. They wouldn't be doing it. They wouldn't be covering their face, you know, 9, 10, 12 hours out of the day with a proverbial sock. They wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't. If they knew the truth, they knew, hey, these masks are not working. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. It's the equivalent of keeping a mosquito out of a chain link fence. It does nothing. And even after they admit this stuff, they admit it. These companies, because they lie so much, and they realize that a lot of people get out there and they research and they look and they put these masks to the test. They put these vaccines to the test. They put these ingredients to the test. Like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Air Force pilots wear this mask. Painters wear this mask. We have people who weld wear this mask here. And these are respirators. Even if I'm not in the service, when you are undergoing a nuclear or biological or chemical event, what they call NBC, you had to wear a certain protective gear. This gear was lined with black charcoal inside of it. And the mask you had to wear was an M40 protective mask. This mask covered your whole face, and it caused your breathing to be very, very shallow. But in order to test the use and the effectiveness of the mask, they will place you in a contaminated environment when you go through your training. In this case, it was an environment filled full of CS gas. You would call that pepper spray. You would call that pepper spray. And they'll place you in the chamber, what we call the gas chamber, with the mask on to demonstrate that, hey, this thing actually works. It actually works. You don't feel any effects of the gas. You can sit here and breathe this thing with no problem. And to let you know that there was actual gas in there, they would take the mask off inside the chamber. And so you take the thing off, it's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? It's like somebody just took a red hot jalapeno pepper and just shoved it directly up your nose, because it's going to make you just cough, you're going to gag, you have zero control of any of your nasal cavities, your eyes are going to tear, you're going to water, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you all up. So on that same line, especially if anyone was in the service would just think about that experience and then compare that with COVID, they would know right away, like, oh, if this thing is so bad, if it's so deadly, then we need a more better mask than what we're wearing right now with just a little DOD symbol on the side of it. You know, so many people are engrossed in the fashion of the mask, and with stars and all these various logos and symbols, versus, is this thing actually protecting me? And the answer is no, because there's nothing to be afraid of. That's the enemy using the fear and having people afraid of something that to me does not even exist. Could it done? If it did, you would not be able to walk outside without seeing someone lying slumped over on the streets as they were showing us in Wuhan in the beginning, with people just falling out, dropping like flies. I haven't seen it. Is there something wrong in my eyes? Are my eyes deceiving me? I haven't seen nothing. And the same holds true for many people. You can ask someone, do you know anybody that died of COVID? Like, oh yeah, I know my sister-in-law, baby, cousin, daughter's, mother's, uncle, nephew. Like, no. Do you know someone personally in your circle? And the answer is always no. But you ask them the same question, okay, do you know anybody that's been injured from a vaccination? And it's 100% yes every single time. Unless you get someone who's in the medical field, then they're going to try to argue you up and down. But for the most part, you talk to someone on the streets, they'll tell you. Like, yeah, you know, so they took this shot and they got messed up real bad. That shot, they got messed up real bad. So what's the point? What's the point of taking this? Why you had this mask on? It's not doing anything. It's not doing anything at all. No, it has not been isolated, brother. It has not been isolated. This whole virus. They've never went into an actual person and extracted this COVID out of them. They haven't done it. Certain countries won't even allow autopsies to be performed on individuals that have died of COVID. And the perfect way to hide it is not to even allow someone to even come into the hospital room and to cremate the bodies that where the evidence is concealed and hidden. Concealed. If this person never, ever died of COVID. And unless you are in some form of medical practice, how would you know? How would you know? These doctors, and they can tell you anything. And for most people, when they hear the news, so-and-so got COVID, it's like the worst thing ever happened to them. Oh, I cannot believe it. Oh, they're going to die. And they just go on and on and on and on and on. That's all that happened. I mean, just, I saw two co-workers, they were just talking, and then next thing you know, one of them just said, well, guess what? And I'm like, what? So-and-so mama got COVID. I mean, they were just, all the tears were flowing, and they were just into a full-scale panic. I'm just looking at them, like, both of y'all have talked to me at one time or another about, you know, church. I thought, oh, my God, why are y'all so afraid all of a sudden? Your God must not be that powerful. I mean, that was just the immediate thought that was going on in my head. Like, what are you afraid of? Why are you scared? But that's what the media has done to people. It's like a spell has been cast over them. A spell has been cast. And they don't call it broadcast for nothing. They don't call it spelling for nothing. In the very language that we use here in English, created by the Jesuits, created by Rome. Just amazing how just a little message can go a long way and cause so many people to be fearful. Yeah, television. Exactly what it is. Broadcasting their spells all over the world, all over the world, to cause them to believe in something that doesn't even exist. And then they put movies out there. They put the different shows on Netflix where they're literally telling these people what they're about to do. What they're about to do. You know, someone showed me this one thing called Utopia. Netflix propaganda. Where they're literally telling the people, we didn't have to release the actual virus. We just told them there was a virus and they believed it. We just told them. And then told them the end game was population control. Reduce the population. Make everyone sterile within 2 to 3 years. Was exactly what they're doing right now. Exactly what they're doing. Through abortions. Through unhealthy lifestyles. Through the vaccinations. Through synthetic drugs. Through murders. By defunding police, murder rates are going up. People are killing themselves. So the population agenda is definitely happening. It is happening. It is. Yeah. I mean, everything you just mentioned there, Brother Greg, when it comes to the very terminology that they use in television, broadcasting, programming, or actors, you know, actresses. You ever seen the credits in some of these movies and actually just looked at them, some of the titles? I always wonder what some of these titles actually meant. You know, what is a best boy? What is a grip? And some of those things just sounded kind of, it never fit well with me. It never did. Like, why, what are these titles? That's directed toward a child. But then you examine Hollywood and the pedophilia roots, there's no telling. There's absolutely no telling. You know, praise God that a lot of these, you know, actors actually come out and they talk about this stuff. They're no longer afraid. You know, fear has torment. These people are tormented by the consequences of what will happen to me, what will happen to my family if I actually come out and speak. But wouldn't that torment is removed? Or they come out and like, hey, y'all got to stop believing this stuff you see on TV. Netflix. It's all satanic. It's all about grooming, doing horrible things to children. Horrible, 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 horrible. Oh, yeah, the television, man, that is something that if the internet invent anything else, I mean, the television has been the greatest thing that he put into the minds and hearts of men to invent. And it can just, it can change families, it can break up homes, it can, it introduces people to lifestyles they never knew nothing about, nothing about. The very, very depths of Satan. And now things are not even being censored anymore. I mean, it is so wide open. It's so wide open. And every other show is about something that's gay. Everything. Homosexual, sodomy. Pushing it before the masses. Pushing the sorcery. Pushing the necromancy. Pushing polygamy. Talking and consulting to the dead. All these things, they're pushing these shows, and they make it seem so nice and fun and happy. And I wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago. I forgot all about it, but my daughter showed me this one that they're putting on Netflix called Meet the Hybrids, where they're showing these babies that are human and animals. So they're putting that narrative out there, sowing the breadcrumbs. On the breadcrumbs. And then they took it a step further. It's like, okay, we can't even do it with the babies now. Now we're going to do it with real people. So now we're going to introduce dating shows where you go on blind dates, but we're not going to put a blindfold on you or nothing. No, we're just going to put you in a full-scale costume. We don't even see the other person. And these costumes look extremely demonic. All of them do. All of them. Yet they just say, oh, it's nice, it's so happy, and it just looks so... this is what they push. This is what they push. This is the Obama-owned internet. Things change when you read the word and let it sow into your heart. You see things in a different light. And the television, it becomes repulsive. It becomes repulsive. The Lord has enlightened us in regard to what is coming upon the earth, that we may enlighten others. And we should not be held guiltless if we are content to sit at ease with folded hands and quibble over matters of minor importance. The minds of many have been engrossed with contentions, and that have rejected the light given through the testimonies because it did not agree with their own opinions. God does not force any man into his service. Each soul must decide for himself whether or not he will fall on the rock and be broken. Heaven has been amazed to see the spiritual stupidity that has prevailed. You need individually to open your proud hearts to the Spirit of God. You need to have your intellectual abilities sanctified to the service of God. The transforming power of God must be upon you, that your minds may be renewed by the Holy Spirit, that you may have the mind that was in Christ. If the watchmen sleep under an opiate of Satan, I guess the right word, O-P-I-A-T-E. That is a different word. I get curious because, like I said, I like English. Oh, it's just amazing that, you know, the very word. See, this is how you know that this woman was definitely a prophet of God. It's like, you know, because the very word that she uses, opiate, means drug. The very, very word she uses here. She wrote this well over 100 years ago, and she is talking about drugs right here. Opiate. And every other person that you meet is pill popping, using some sort of Vatican pharmacia prescription drug. And I've never talked to so many people say, oh, I got to go to here. I got to go pick up a medicine. I got to pick up a drug. I got to go pick up, you know, this pill or that pill. I'm like, man, oh, man, oh, man. You've been using these pills for how long that you still have the same problems? So that tells me, that should tell you that right away, the pill ain't doing nothing. They're doing nothing. And how much money are you paying to take these things? All you're doing is keeping that doctor's pockets fat. That's all you're doing. And your health is deteriorating. And taking these poisons. For the watchmen sleep under an opiate of Satan's, and do not recognize the voice of the true shepherd. Now, this is kind of hard to, you know, once you're under the influence of, you know, Vatican pharmacia, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear God's voice. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it at all. You open up the mind and the soul to the portal for demonic influence. Demonic influence. If you don't know, ask anyone who's ever drank spirits. There's a reason why they call them spirits. No alcohol, which is legal. It's like cigarettes are legal, and caffeine is legal. And these things are messing up people left and right, that you can go to any corner and get them with no problem. With no problem. And do not take up the warning. I tell you, in the fear of God, they will be charged with the blood of souls. The watchmen must be awake, men who will not slumber at their post of duty, day or night. They must give the trumpet a certain sound, that the people may shun the evil and choose the good. Stupidity and careless indifference cannot be excused. On every side of us, there are breakers and hidden rocks which would dash our bark in pieces and leave us helpless wrecks, unless we make God our refuge and help. And that was the end of that one. Gotta blow the trumpet. Gotta blow the trumpet. I mean, speaking of trumpets, the world is definitely blowing their trumpet. They're blowing their trumpet. They're sounding the alarm concerning climate change. They're sounding the alarm concerning pandemics and, you know, this variant and that variant. And how COVID is on the rise here and on the rise there. Alarmists, if people continue to blow their trumpets. Soon they're going to be blowing an even bigger trumpet. And that's the one concerning, you know, Sunday law. I just can't get over this whole G7 thing. I cannot get over it all. And I'm going to look some more into it because, I mean, this is huge. This is huge. These people are literally telling us that they're telling people right in their face, we're going to leave climate change to Sunday. Climate change to Sunday. And in the same lines, the Vatican has just said many, many, many times that Sunday is our mark of authority. Church is above the Bible. Transfer of Sabbath deserves proof of that fact. I mean, this is a quote that's probably stuck in all of our heads. How can people miss this? How can they? It's just like, how do you explain this sometimes? Like, how do people miss this when it's right there in their face? How can you continue to say the mask is the mark or the vaccine? And right here in that same passage, same chapter that talks all about the mark, worship is right there, right along with it. Worship. To adore, to bow down, to succumb to, and or obey. You don't have to get on your knees to the Pope. All you got to do is obey what he's saying here. Pushing this family day, pushing this rest day, pushing this climate change lockdown. So I'm definitely going to get into that because something that just disturbed me, but that whole entire climate change summit, that whole entire G7, they talked about everything. They talked about everything under the sun on what we got to do, how we're going to handle it. Kind of the same manner they did with Event 201. And I imagine they're going to do the same thing here with this whole cyber polygon coming up soon. And that's another thing we're going to get into with these drills coming up. We talked about earlier that so many people are taking the time to do their research and know that the ineffectiveness of the masks, they know the ineffectiveness of these vaccines that they're killing people. They know it. So much so that the CDC, the WHO, they have to come out and admit. They have to come out and admit it to make themselves look good to say, oh, the masks don't work. These PCR tests are faulty. They're trash. But now we got people who are experiencing heart inflammation. They have to, because so many people are posting on Facebook and saying it that they are. So they have to come out and say it. So what's going to be the alternative when they give another round of vaccines in the wintertime and more people are keeling over and dying or facing severe adverse events? It just tells you everything is pointed to it. They're going to have to do something with the internet. They're going to have to shut it down. And I've talked about this before, just the way I'm looking at this, is that that'll give them ample opportunity, like they did the lockdowns. Because they're going to handle it the same exact way they're handling COVID. They saw what COVID did. They saw how they locked people down. They saw people got fearful. And while they were doing the lockdowns, they were going to start all the 5G. So if we can shut down the net just for a couple of weeks or a month, so to speak, that gives us enough time to scrub every single truth, pushing website. All of them, get them all offline, get every single one of them offline, and give the public our form of truth. And not only that, install our brand new network that you have to have some sort of government identification to get online, because there's a threat of hackers with cybersecurity. I mean, whatever lie they can cook up to make sure that they know who it is that's getting on the network. That way you can be tracked every single thing you look up. And not only that, but you will only be allowed to look up websites that they allow you to look up. And if you do look up something that isn't allowed, you will be flagged. This is where I see this is going. This is where I see it. Now, I'm praying that it's not. But we all know eventually they're going to knock everything offline, including this site. I mean, Brother Nick has talked about that many times. If anything you need to get offline, like a video or a document or a track that's going to be helpful to you and the preacher 30-inch message, then get it. Make a hard copy of it. Get it off that computer. Get it off that computer. Get it on a flash drive, whatever it may be. Because this message is becoming illegal. It is becoming illegal. And it's going to come to a point like, hey, we are preaching Sunday. Sunday to rest law. This is Sunday. You're preaching Sabbath. You are extremist domestic terrorists, and you are going to be face severe punishment. I mean, this is a lot they're going to cook up. And they're setting the stage for it right now with this Sunday law. This is something that definitely keep an eye on with this whole shutdown drills that they're doing. And it could be more fear, but at the same time, everything was normal in a few days. The very next day, got a president locking down the country. So you got to kind of look at this stuff, take it for what it is, and at the same time, just be prepared. Be prepared for that day. If you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, which I'm sure everyone here does, get a hold of one. You can't be completely reliant on this technology. You cannot be reliant on this for years and years and years, for thousands of years. All men had was pen and paper. That's what they had. So getting back to that era of being able to have pen and paper and to talk to people one-on-one, face-to-face, that would be crucial in these coming days. Because if they do this, and signs are pointing that they definitely will do it, then it's going to cause a rapid transformation in this work. And I mean, just a day of having no gas, and people go nuts. They went crazy. They went crazy. I mean, just filling up 55-gallon barrels and trash bags, garbage bags, or full of gas, Kool-Aid pitchers, whatever they can get, any kind of container they can get, filling it up. One day without the net. 3 days without it. 5 days a week. And so many things that are operated and ran online. And for many people, their bank accounts, not being able to access their money. That's going to go, man, it will be absolute pandemonium. Absolute pandemonium. And then the government just dangles that, okay, this is what you got to do to get your internet back. And if you think people succumb to the whole COVID narrative and the whole COVID mandates, oh, they would do anything. This would be a resume, get back on TikTok or Instagram or Netflix, YouTube, whatever it may be. They would do anything the government demands. Even if they were to ask to rat out your neighbor. Whatever it may be, they will do it. These are things to consider, brothers and sisters. This is not a fear, you know, message, but rather an awareness message that you can take this, learn this, do your research, and at the same time, share it with others so that they may know, because so many people are asleep. So many people are asleep. They believe in their heart of hearts that things are going to get back to normal, and now it's not. There is no normal. There is no normal with everything that's going on right now in this world. There is no normal with this whole pride thing. There's no normal with that. That's not normal. That is not. That is not normal, what's going on with the weather and all these earthquakes and this drought. Over here in the East Coast, we're getting rain every other day, and on the West Coast, 100 degrees daily. Daily. I mean, there's nothing normal about that. And we haven't even hit the hurricane season in this area. How to manipulate the weather and the chemtrails and all the nanotechnology. With the food, there's nothing normal about that. With kids and little boys walking around here looking like dresses on and girls that got clothes and look like mine, there's nothing normal about that. Absolutely normal. Nothing at all. So this is all about awareness, understanding the times, knowing what time it is, and to go forth, prepare the heart, prepare the mind for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whew. All right there, brethren. I did not know I would go that long. But I'm going to get ready to get me something to eat here in a little bit. I was in my bed sleeping. My son, I guess he decided to warm up some food. He wants to get in the kitchen so bad. I guess he got some inspiration. I might have a little chef all I know. I don't know. But for the first time ever, he woke me up to breakfast in bed, and I was just like, oh, I'm getting this old man. I was like, oh, my man, my little boy, he's growing up. Boy's getting all deep, just getting all taller. Like, man, my daughter, she's beautiful. And I mean, I'm just amazed at my kids every single day. I really am. I'm so amazed. Microphone, I just like, you got a beautiful voice. You got to sing more. Your grandma tells you this all the time. You got to get out of here. You got to sing. You used to do it to me. Why? You got to stop. And, you know, kids, I guess they go through like a little teenage phase. And I try as a dad, but I try to push it. I understand when it comes to them. I give them, you know, the love, but at the same time, I try to push it. Try to push it on them. I never force my kids. I just encourage. But at the same time, you, as a parent, you want to give the best example you can to your children, because they're learning. They're looking directly at you. You're going to be a person they spend the majority of their time with. And I believe the word says that a just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him, as in Proverbs. As long as you remain true, brothers and sisters, and your children are looking on, you're going to raise up good kids. Give them that truth. You're going to train them up in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they're not going to depart. They're not going to forget this word. They're not going to forget this truth. They're not. There's going to be some cases where someone's going to be separated from our kids, and that word is hidden in their heart. They're going to be able to go forth and stand on that firm foundation. All right. So what I will do, because it's just kind of like a little modified current event / study, because Brother Sean wasn't able to, because of the internet, he's having an issue there. So I will close this out in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to get me some food. So if anyone has any prayer requests they want to put into the text chat, then by all means, place them there. My stomach is a growling, and then I'll probably go out the rest of this day. It is nice outside. It's very nice. I go out here in the yard and just sit out here. I don't know. We might go to a trail. There's only two trails in this area. We've already done both of them. They weren't quite scenic as the one back in Carolina. My kids, we were kind of disappointed. The one in Carolina, I mean, it had all kind of vegetation growing. They had, you know, cotton. They had all the different plants along the way. Some even had, like, wild muscadines they were growing. I mean, it was just nice. It was very, very nice. They found blackberries, mulberries. And I was kind of upset about that, because they had put this little development in a certain part of the trail. And the development was loaded with mulberry trees, and they cut all of them down. They cut all of them. I'm like, why did y'all do that? Why? They cut all of them down. But this one, it was not the greatest. We did that trail in like four Sabbaths, and we were done. And then the next one, we were only out for two, just for two Sabbaths. It was a very, very short trail. It was like 3 miles. Knocked that one out pretty quick. And I think I found one. I'm going to have to leave on like a Friday. If I get off of work, just go straight there. Probably have to get a room like in advance for me and the kids to kind of stay overnight. And there's a park that has a trail. It's pretty open. It got some, a lot of secluded areas. Pond, and so it's a lot of things that you can kind of see for the kids, and it'll be out there in nature. But again, I'm still trying to get a solution. Unless I find like a little Wi-Fi little spot in that area. I know some have like little Wi-Fi spots, and I'd be able to a fellowship with the family on Sabbath. But a nice day like this, definitely gotta get out. It looks like a cloud is coming. I see a little overcast. Did they call for rain today? Let me see. Hold on. Did they call for rain? I know they said they're supposed to be raining all next week. Oh, it is raining. It just hasn't reached my area yet, but it's already raining. That's weird. Okay, so in the one part of Statesboro, I'm looking at the little app, and it says that it's raining, and it's 60% throughout the rest of this evening. But here where I'm at, it's just an overcast. Okay, but they're saying it's definitely going to hit around 7 o'clock, like a 90% chance. It's a thunderstorm, so I don't know. Maybe we might not be going on the trail. I'll just be out here on a porch.
I don't know, but
first and foremost, it's food. I gotta eat. All right, brothers and sisters, if you can kneel, we'll close us out in a word of prayer. By your hearts. Precious Father, Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for this Sabbath day. I want to thank you for everything that you've done for us and continue to do for us. I want to thank you for the word. I want to thank you for your truth. I want to thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for just being our Father. Thank you for caring for us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. A very death that we all deserve to die. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it because he loved us and you love us. And you set this plan in motion from the very, very, very beginning. From the very beginning. And that if anyone would just accept him and believe in him, that we would not die but have everlasting life. And we thank you for the word that you've given us, that we can search it and we can learn this truth. And we thank you for just choosing each individual here. And you didn't have to do that either. But also for us making the choice to serve you and to love you to the best of our ability. Father God, we pray for the words. We pray for the words and we meet those out in public that we can share with them, that we can talk with them. You know, give them the articles, give them the news, give them the tracks so they can see what time it is. They can wake up to what's really, really going on. And we also pray that you send those souls our way. Send those ones who are ready, who are eager, that want to learn. Even when we're out in public, we can just see them. They'll place it upon our hearts to see those that we can just walk up to and talk to and give them this message. Father God, we pray for our many families, those who are in attendance today, those who came and heard the sermon, those who came and participated in fellowship and the many prayers that were placed into the text chat, into the telegram, the many spokens and unspokens. Father God, we pray that you answer them according to your will. Even if they're left unanswered, that prayer is answered according how you see fit. Father God, we also pray as we prepare to close out Sabbath, I guess in some areas it is, but in other areas it's still going. That you bless those in this new week with new opportunities for advancement, good health for those who are facing any type of health ailments, and those who unknowingly, through lack of proper research, may have taken just vaccines or anything like that, that you heal them. Because many people, they just see what they see on the television and they are affected. They're affected because they didn't know. Father God, have mercy. Have mercy on them as you have on many, many people who are still living. You show your grace and you show your mercy. They may come to the truth, and that truth be your Son who shed his blood and died for us. In this prayer we lift up, Father God, in this prayer we offer, in the precious name of your Son, the Most High, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.